What's that?
I don't know if we can lead with that.
Oh. What, with sloppy clap?
Got a case of sloppy clap.
Oh, clap's bad enough. And sloppy claps. Holy shit. Once you get the clap, it doesn't go away. Is that the one that doesn't go away? It's crabs.
Oh, it's syphilis. No.
I think none of them are fun.
Which one's the clap? The clap's gonorrhea.
Okay, yeah.
Or is it once chlamydia? You get the... It's one of the ones.
Chlamydia, gonorrhea. You might not be having a
flare-up. Herpes is the one that doesn't go away.
You might not be having a flare-up, but it ain't going anywhere. So for all of you suffering with the clap out there, just deal with it.
Well, that one's just antibiotics.
Someone knows a little too much.
I'm pretty sure it's herpes. That's the one that's a virus.
All right.
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Someone
either.
Who's what specialist do you see for that? Sexual health?
Prostitute.
Okay.
I think they'll be able.
Well, yeah, there's all the doctors. There's like. They've all got those names. Like, who do you go to see for that kind of thing?
Well, I don't know if it's just your GP. I don't know. Yeah, I think I don't know if there's someone who specializes in just sexually transmitted diseases. It would be somebody who would like be a gynecologist,
right?
Might know a fair bit about it. What do you call someone who's a gynecologist? That's all about lady, urine and stuff. Yeah, pee and all that sort of stuff. I had I had to go see a urologist. Why did I have to? When I had
the clap.
Well, I was seeing a urologist. Oh no, I had saw a urologist when I had a hernia.
Okay. Yeah. When was your hernia?
When I was maybe like 2014 or something like that. So I had that, and then I had to see a urologist when there was some stuff going on, and I got a colonoscopy.
Wow. As well. This that is was a great. That intro was to that the was exciting. Podcast.
So I've had a lot of people fiddle around my bits.
Nice.
Have you had the prostate check?
I don't know if I told you off or on camera that one time in China.
Was it planned?
No.
Okay, I want to hear about yours. But I want to tell you about mine as well. I've had two, actually. My father died of prostate cancer.
Right.
So they try and check. Anytime I tell a doctor that, they're like, all right, bend over. And I'm like, oh, damn it.
Okay.
But the first time I had it, it was during my, I woke up in the middle of the night. So let's talk about this.
We'll talk about some rugby later.
We will, but you shift over a little bit. Maybe okay. I shift in. There's a bit of dead space there.
Okay. Dead space is a horror video
I woke
video
up
game,
in the middle of the night with
I don't really do horror video games.
So I think men should talk about this stuff more often. So this is like a men's health episode of Two Cents Gets Distracted.
Because you didn't watch that much rugby?
I watched heaps of rugby and I can't wait to talk about it, okay? But no. So I was married to my ex-wife at the time and I remember going to bed and I said to her...
Stick your finger up my butt. I need a check.
No, I feel my nuts are a bit sore. She was like, oh, that's weird.
Okay.
And then I was like, yeah, that's weird. You know how you say things like that to your loved
your
ones?
Ex-wife?
Yeah. And then I woke up at like 3 a.m. and it just felt like, you know, like a fucking herd of elephants was just like standing on my nuts. I was like, oh, God, this is not good.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, this is not good at all. So then I went into the hospital and then they thought that I had a twisted scrotum.
Yeah, that
or something
can be,
like that.
I remember worrying about that as a teenager because they talked about that in like sex health class or something. That like
you really went to town on yourself.
If you don't get it seen within... like 24 hours on there, you lose your testicle, basically.
But then some student doctor had come to that conclusion.
Okay.
And then it was like, yep, I think we need to sort this out for this bloke. And then he told a doctor who was more senior than him. And she was like, yep, that sounds right. And then she was just like, okay, let's just give him an X-ray or something first, and then I didn't actually have a twisted scrotum. I had
an X-ray your balls.
Oh, I don't know. Well, she did some. I can't remember this. Well over a decade ago.
I don't know.
And then she.
I don't think there's much bone in that bone.
Anyway, they gave me a thing just to evaluate something else.
It may well be an X-ray. I have
and
no medical
knowledge. I don't know either. But anyway, they did some sort of procedure to work out what I actually had, and it wasn't.
They scanned your nuts.
It turned out that I had an inguinal hernia. So that's when part of your intestine. Is poking out through into your ball sack area. So that's pretty unpleasant. I gotta be honest. So it feels like someone sort of just kicked you in the nuts. But, and then they say, "You, oh, we'll sort that
how
out.
How does it even get in there?
Yeah. I don't know. Even... pushing out a hard shit or something. Anyway, it's more common than you think. And then, so then it sort of feels like a dull ache that someone sort of just kicked you in the nuts about 10 minutes ago all the time. Mm. Not pleasant. So they had to sort that out. But I remember I went to see urologists and all sorts of people just to make sure nothing else was going on as well. Mm. And I don't know if you've ever...
You had a bad habit of not talking into the microphone last week.
Oh, sorry. Talking in to this microphone. Have you ever, had anything going on with your stomach or your bits or something like that? And then you... By the way, so I've had things where I've had to show doctors my cock and balls so often. Like, I'm pretty used to it. So anyway, so I was seeing multiple specialists and stuff like that. And I was constantly just dropping my dax. Like, they're like, yeah, show me. And I was like, yeah, whatever. Feast your eyes on that one. Hide your erection. But I mean, I went into this one place. And he was like, okay, drop your dax. And I was like, yeah, no worries. And then he was like, okay, lie against the wall. Look at the wall. And I was like, oh, this is different. He's taking a
different approach.
Taking a different view. Then I just hear, I'm like, whoa, what's going on in there? And then he's like, just breathe in. I'm like, okay. And then like straight up. Oh my fucking God. Like, and then you're just like, holy. And I had no idea it was coming.
Wow.
There was no warning. Like, he thought, I was just like, what on earth? He's like fucking so deep in there. He's touching a fucking lung. And then it was horrible. It was horrible just in the fact that I didn't know it was coming. I couldn't prepare for it. And then I thought the second time I had it, I was like, oh, this would be much better. I'm used to it. It wasn't. But by the way, no, it's not that bad. If you need to go get your prostate checked, work out whether you've got, that stuff. It's not that bad. You know what the weirdest feeling is, though? Of the whole prostate check? Can I be honest with you? When they're pulling the finger out of your asshole,
feels like you're taking a dump.
It definitely feels like you're taking a shit. You're like, oh my God, I'm shitting on you, doc. It's pretty gross. It's weird. It's a weird feeling. But do it. Get your prostate checks, guys. People die. My father died. So do it. That's my advice to you. But it's not. But it's not fun. It's not something you do for a good time. Or some. Maybe you do. But anyway, that's my little story. And then the doctor. And then the person left. And then the doctor came in and said, "Hey, yeah, you know, hey, oh, ba bang." Yes.
See you there.
But anyway, what's new in your world, my man?
I've been filling out insurance claims.
Oh, how's it been going, the saga?
Well, my pipes are fixed. Like, not my bits and pieces, my actual pipes in my house.
So your pipes are fixed, and that cost you...
thousands of dollars poorer.
Yes.
And I've lodged an insurance claim. I've given them the stats, and I've given them the key events.
Fantastic. All right.
So their initial email seems maybe promising.
Really?
Maybe. She didn't say no. She was like, I need more information.
Okay.
So...
you've sent more information?
I need to get it from the plumber.
All right. Okay. Cool. So if it's an instantaneous leak and not slow and gradual, then that's a good sign.
That's basically what she said in the email. If it's gradual damage, we're not going to cover it. But I was like, well, it's not.
Yeah. It's pretty, because I had it checked.
Well, I had a meter reading right before those guys started digging at my house.
All
right. Right after they started digging.
Well, they chase AT for it then?
I think so.
Right.
Because I'll have to pay my excess as well. So they might even get my excess back for me.
Oh,
I may get nothing. We'll see.
Who knows? But then you're going to have to refund Rian Lowe and... there were two
donations from the pipes.
Thank you to those.
Champs. Both legends. In South African Rand.
Right. So what I saw was 35 each, was it, on both of them?
Something like that.
How much is that?
I don't know.
I'm sure it's appreciated. That's what it is.
100%.
Well done.
Rian's a champion. I think he's like an engineer. He could probably fix my pipes.
You reckon?
Let me have a look at those pipes.
Are you saying you want Rian to give you a...
That's not
check?
What I said. I said...
Well, you went...
Bro, read into that what you will.
Yeah, but that's like, he can fix my pipes by not only fingering you, fisting you is what you were sort of implying there.
Gracious, man.
I know. Golly gosh. Nothing else, though, of note.
I got the kids on school holiday. So
yeah, I got the kids. We both look at each other like,
it's
condolences,
one of those
condolences.
Yeah, it's one of those things.
Right.
Took them out today and took them to the park and played a bit of a hit around with the cricket set. And
nice.
swung on the swings. My son suddenly, my son's trying to take like not the little kid behaviors now because he's 9. He'll be 10 this year. He's starting to do stuff like, I'll clean that up. You know, I'll do this. I'll do that. Like he's trying to like contribute instead of just being a
wow.
And he's like, I'll push you on the swing, Dad. That was
fucking weird. Wee.
Like, you know, those big those big swings, not like the ones where you sit down. Those big kind of like upside down the bowl ones.
The basket swings.
No, regular, basket swings. There you go. You have stuff to deal with.
Yeah.
Children.
I have stuff to deal with children. You make it sound like I hang outside schools with chloroform. Like,
well, you hang around outside schools sometimes.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
So, yeah, he was just pushing me like a madman. Oh. That was weird. It felt weird.
That's very typical oldest child behavior. Yeah, I never did that. I was never like, leave that to me, mother.
I'll
dry tonight.
Exactly.
No. So that was
bizarre. I've like not been pushed on a swing for many a year.
By your child son.
Yeah, he was like giving it a good go.
He was really giving
it was
you...
It was quite good.
He's feeling quite powerful. Sounds like he's a conscientious young man. He's a good young fellow.
Hopefully.
Is he playing rugby this year?
Nah. Doesn't like tackle.
All right, fair enough. What's he going to play? Oh, you don't know.
He didn't play anything last year.
Bit of football, maybe?
Did a bit of swimming. He said he might be interested in playing, like, hockey.
Oh, yeah?
Like, field hockey. I played a year of hockey when I was a kid.
You've got to be a bit of a madman to be play
it's
hockey.
Fucking... I don't think he gets it. Like, he's trying to trade down tackle for something less brutal, but you get the shit whacked out of your hands.
Your hands get fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking field hockey for anyone who's really... There's not a huge amount of ice hockey.
There's no real money in that, though, so...
Well, you
he's not gonna like.
I've seen him run around. I was trying to get him into golf. I thought that was his best chance.
Yeah, probably not.
He's not. Yeah, he can run around, but what I'm trying to say is, I don't think he's gonna be a peak performance athlete.
No,
I could be wrong, Garrett.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Even when he was in first year rugby as like a 5-year-old, there were kids. There are some kids who just run like fucking All Blacks, even at 5. There's like 80% of the kids are normal. And then there's like a few kids who are just like, holy hell.
And most of those kids
don't make it.
Don't go anywhere.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, they, you know,
there was one kid who he went through the grades with because he played for like 4 years. And that kid was great at ripper, but did not like tackle either. He's still really fast, but he hates any contact. He came off crying more than anybody else.
All right.
He just did not like any contact. As soon as he got tackled, he basically cried.
Oh, that sucks.
But at ripper, he was fucking a beast. He would get like 10 tries a game.
Right.
Basically, give him the ball, he scored a try.
Maybe he'll just get a little bit older and get back into it. Who knows?
They're kids.
Yeah, indeed.
As long as they're having fun.
As long as they're having fun. That is the main thing. All right, so we've talked about hernias, your colonoscopies, pieces, prostate checks, your pipes.
Honestly, that email that I sent to the, or the claim form that I sent was so fucking thorough.
Really?
It was like a timeline of events, breakdown of events,
and then
it was pictures.
Did you get old ChatGPT to help you out at all?
No.
It was all
by myself.
It was all Mark Morgan.
Exactly.
Mark Morgan AI. Yeah. Just I.
So if I got my claim denied, I've only got myself to blame.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Well, not really. You should hopefully get something back for it. We'll Fingers see. Crossed. We'll keep you updated week
on
week.
What you want
to
hear.
So what? If, by the way, this is episode 94 of the podcast.
Okay.
I think.
What are we going to do for... last time you texted me was in the 90s.
93.
And not close to 100.
Yeah, we've got a wee while. When are we... What's it going to be in 6 episodes? We might not do 6 episodes straight, but we'll be near enough. There'd be Lions Tour by then?
We're getting close.
Right. Should we go to a pub in Oz and record over there? Have a fan meet up with like 1.5 people. That's about the... Yeah, that'd be sad, wouldn't it? We have a fan meet up and... Anyone here?
Hello?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Doctor?
I'd be like, oh, great to see you. And they'll probably give us their drinks order or something.
Yeah.
That'd be great. All right, rugby. Rugby, rugby, rugby.
Did you watch any?
I watched a little bit.
There was some Super Rugby and there was some Champions Cup.
I enjoyed, I didn't enjoy it, but it was a good game. I enjoyed it. Crusaders versus the Hurricanes on Friday night.
Did you know that the Crusaders are now the top side in Super Rugby?
It makes me feel a little bit sick.
Last year was just so good.
Yeah, we won.
We were in the top and then they were in the bottom.
And they just couldn't get a win.
It was great.
They just could not get a win.
It felt like the world had changed.
It felt like things were finally right.
Things was finally starting to change for the better.
Yeah. And it's not because, like, we've got anything against Christchurch, really. Well, not really. And it's just, it sucks watching the same team win and
over
win.
Over and over again.
So I'm going to be really disappointed if they win the comp. They've still got a few years of, like, I felt like they needed, like, a...
They need a good decade stand down, man.
Yeah, a good decade stand down. But they'll still... in 10 years, no one's going to have more titles than them still. Exactly. Even if they don't win a single one more.
That's right.
Like, how what's the most an Australian team's got? The Brumbies have got one.
Couple.
Bron or two.
The Reds have got one. The Tars have got one. That's it.
Force have got shit.
Force has never made the playoffs. We've got three.
Yeah, which is...
The Chiefs have got two, and the other two New Zealand teams have got one. The Hurricanes and the Highlanders.
And that's really about it, really. How many South Africans team won it? The Storms won it one year, didn't they?
No, just the Bulls.
Just the Bulls.
Yeah.
Oh. I guess they didn't like touch rugby that much, did they?
Eh?
They didn't like touch rugby. It's just... The South African side of the competition. I feel like they're, you know how we used to, you know, Super Rugby, the Europeans used to say to us, oh, it's just a bit of touch rugby.
Right.
I'm feeling the loudest part of that community saying that now is the South Africans who have left.
Every YouTube comment section on the highlights packages gets a lot of haters. I don't really understand it.
Hmm. Why? Yeah, on highlights packages?
Yeah.
Do they think they're watching a live game potentially? Like, oh, so many tries.
Why do you go watch it though? It's hate watching. I don't know.
Maybe it's like a jilted old lover or something like that.
Yeah, I don't think I really do that.
Hmm. Okay, anyway, let's talk. I don't feel like we've found a flow today.
No.
Yeah. Is it my energy or your energy?
It's probably a bit of both.
Was it I talked about my prostate too quickly?
I'm just picturing it constantly. Picturing your intestines protruding into your sack.
My boy, inguinal hernia, that's what that is. Has anyone had an iguanal hernia? All right, let us
know in the comments.
We need to talk about some fucking rugby.
The Crusaders won 31-24.
And it was all the way down to the end, basically.
They had a fucking big lead. They were up 31-10.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, it's a bit sad, Hurricanes fans.
But the Hurricanes came back into
it. They came back into it, and they got within a losing bonus point.
Yeah, and there was a moment there where you thought they had all the momentum and like, hey, they could do this.
They might just get it done, but then they didn't.
No, they didn't get it done. This is some super high-level analysis. It really is.
Will Jordan and Ruben Love had a wee moment.
Oh, that's right. They had a little dusty, didn't they? They got into, had a couple of, they invited each other around to each other's house for barbecues.
That's right.
That was after Will Jordan's try, wasn't it?
Was it a try? Was he? I think he was chasing through a kick, which went dead.
Oh, right.
Will Jordan was just trying to make sure it went dead, and Love was trying to get to it.
I watched that whole game. Can I be honest with you?
He kind of banged into him, and he was like, come around for a barbecue. And Will Jordan was like, for fuck's sake, man. Yeah. Summer's over.
Exactly. And it's my turn to host you, bitch.
Yeah. You got to wait till next summer.
Is it bad? That I feel like when you watch so much domestic rugby that... Like, it was on Friday night, right?
It feels like ancient history. It
feels like ages ago. And I remember thinking to myself at the end of that game, well, that was quite a clash. I remember having that post-game feeling. But ask me now
what
the fuck really happened in that game. And I can just tell you that the Crusaders had a good start. The Wellingtonians came back into it and looked like they could potentially win it.
I remember Cariffy made a heap of tackles.
Yeah. Roygaard didn't make as much. I'm a little bit worried about Roygaard's form.
Hotham won the battle of the halfbacks, I think.
Yeah. I'm a little bit worried about the All Blacks' form across. I thought this was actually the best game that Dogrolls played in a while.
Yes. He set up a couple of tries. He was good at the break, park. Nice hands.
Big at the breakdown.
Yes. Dogrolls Scott Barrett, for anyone who's unaware.
Yeah, he played pretty damn well, I thought. Because he's been under pressure to put in some sort of performance. Because one of my big fears at the moment is the All Black players aren't actually...
Standing up that well, eh?
No, not at all. Even like players like De Groot, you know, not looking that
dominant.
Flash.
Yeah.
You know, well,
I've
not...
even think like similar about like Mark Talia. Like Mark Talia's not
Mark
being...
Talia's not looking great. Caleb Clark isn't having a stellar year. We've got... You know, Bodie's been, you know, just come back. I think Bodie has been looking pretty good, but he's got question marks in different parts of his game.
D-Mac was a bit shit against the Waratahs.
D-Mac wasn't even playing 10 today in that game, was he?
Switched halfway through, yeah.
Our midfield hasn't been looking particularly great. The only midfielder that we know has been regular is Rico, and Rico has looked not particularly flash. Halfback, Roygaard is probably the number one, but he hasn't been looking particularly great. Ardie Sevilla has been looking fantastic.
That's true. My dad's worried that he's going to like burn himself out trying to lift.
I said that last week.
Did you really? Maybe my dad watched the podcast and stole that from you.
Said to you last week. Guess you always forget what I say. To be fair, we forgot a game on Friday night.
That's true. He's also worried about the same with Jordy Barrett, not so much for carrying the team, but just like...
He had a great game in the weekend, didn't he?
He was probably the best of the three Barretts of the weekend, and they all played pretty well.
I saw a bit of that.
Did you?
I did.
But the Crusaders won.
On to the next!
The Waratahs won.
That was stellar.
A lot of the feedback on that game was that the refereeing was a bit shithouse.
I didn't notice.
Yeah, it was a bit patchy. Like, he would really go hard on stuff for a while and then just let weird stuff go. And then he let the Waratahs get away with, like, not get away with, but he pinged them, like, 8 times in a row. And didn't even warn them for, like, yellow cards. It was really all over the shop.
Whereabouts in the field were these pingings?
I think a multitude of ones in their own half, but I don't know. Right. Maybe not quite in, like, the red zone, but, yeah. Sue Elite looked good, though. He's quick and he's powerful.
And he's got great feet as well. He's got great hands, great skills. That try where they got the ball on their own try line, spun it out wide.
The Terry Wilson one was unbelievable.
Yeah, that's fabulous. And then, you know, Swiley takes some pace on the outside. Tracks two men, and that tip pass was a thing of beauty. And then
I think it was Lawson Crichton.
Yeah, that was spectacular. They had a couple of nice tries in that game.
Yeah, and they won denied as well. The Fichetti one in the corner. Beautiful as well.
And you think that, you know, this is a team that lost to Moana Pacifica last week and
pretty handily as well. They got hammered the week before by the Canes. In the Cape Town.
So they didn't have a particularly successful trip to New Zealand.
No, they're terrible.
Because they were looking pretty good before that, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so...
They've been in the playoff spots for a while, and then they came here, and it was like, huh, okay, it's this old Super Rugby where you're all right over there, but when you come here, you're shithouse.
Yeah, well, there seems to be a bit of that, like teams going across... Like, the Highlanders had a winless tour of Australia as well, didn't they? So there seems to be... Like, going to another country...
But it never used to be... It used to be a one-way street. We could quite happily go to Australia and get wins, but then they couldn't...
Not in this tournament. And not with... It's starting to be a bit of a concern about the form of our All Black players. How often we're getting beaten by Australian teams. You know, we keep saying we want Australia to be a lot more of a competitive side.
But we don't really want...
But I don't like it. But I also don't know whether that's them getting better or it's us getting worse.
We'll give them the credit.
And then a terrible result would be they get pounded by the Lions and we lose to the French B team. No, I was thinking we lose the bloody
The Bledisloe.
The Bledisloe. I think we'll get the French with the type of squad they send out.
Okay.
I think you have to. Well, hopefully Razor has some
master plan.
Yeah, it's all part of. Maybe Razor said to everybody at the end of year tour last year was like, "You're all playing well enough. Just take it easy over the summer. Don't burn yourselves out. I'm looking at you, Artie. Super Rugby, you've all got your places. Just
go cruising.
We're gonna be ready to launch.
Just give us a good 6 out of 10 between now and then.
Yeah. Don't give us any reason not to select you. Well, I don't know. Surely that can't be it.
No. They're all ultra competitive individuals.
Ultra competitive. But yeah, I don't, when you look at that, the form 15 for the All Blacks right now would be a different team than the team you probably actually put out if you had to put a, and the team on paper would just, they look, you know, in terms of past form pretty good, but in terms of current form, not exactly setting the world alight, are they?
Yeah, I suppose that's true. The good thing is there's a few guys who are kind of outside the All Blacks who have not been capped for the All Blacks who look like they could be potential All Blacks. Like Tava Tava Nawa looks like, well, that guy might be an All Black.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
is it with the Chiefs the other night, did the Waratahs really put themselves to another level? Or did the
Waratahs defended like demons for a while, and the Chiefs just get fucking knocking the ball on.
D-Mac
alone, I think, had 7.
Just a bad night in the office? Mm-hmm.
But I mean, sometimes just defensive pressure will do that to you.
Yeah. Was it a game after that, Reds versus...
That was the two Friday games. Then we got to Saturday, which was Blues Moana Pacifica.
The opening, the
Battle of the 09.
The opener for the Super Rugby Al Picky final. Yeah, it was a lot going into it. I was slightly torn because I really have been supporting Moana this year. But then as soon as it started, I was like, don't let them win.
That's right. They came into it with wins over the Crusaders and the Waratahs.
Mm-hmm.
We'd been looking a bit patchy, but we'd just got a win over the Canes.
I could have seen us losing that game.
Yeah. There's a lot of people calling that we were going to lose that game.
Yeah.
But then the Blues just went, fuck it. We're going to maul it. We're going to keep it tight. We'll win some scrum penalties.
Yeah. And
we're not really going to give the wingers that much to do.
Yeah.
We're just going to play up the jumper.
Well, it was kind of the style that they played last year.
I think more conservative, slightly.
Yeah, yeah. I thought Bodie still looked really good.
His
skill, his touches are really, really nice. His kicking and play has got a lot better since the injury. Mm. And, you know, you kind of, I don't know about you, but I kind of sitting there waiting over the last 2 to 3 years just waiting for his drop-off.
Still hasn't really happened. Yeah,
and you know, not quite.
He's like, still pretty quick.
He's still got, yeah, still got some good toe. Some guys
really visibly slow down or lose their power.
He did a great try. The one that shouldn't have been a try. Artie Savia's knee touched the ground. It shouldn't have been a try, but referee made a mistake. But that chip over the top, that was lovely.
Yeah.
And the one thing I couldn't flippin' understand, look, I'm going to say flippin' because
you're real mad about this.
Real, real peeved. Why on God's green earth was Jackson Needs a Garden Salad playing instead of Pellegrini?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. That was a bizarre so weird. Call. Like,
Pellegrini's been in the form of his life.
He's been playing the house down. He's been so crucial in their wins. And Needs a Garden Salad has not actually done
that. Yeah, my dad mentioned something about that. He said Tana had mentioned something in the press conference about it. About wanting to keep rotation. Guys fresh or something, but it seems like, come on, man.
Come on, dude. You need your wins, man. Yeah. You need to. The guy's playing amazingly well. Like,
the Blues are not vulnerable, but they're looking much more beatable than they did at the start of the year.
100%. So you've just beaten the Crusaders. You've beaten the Tars.
So now's the time to keep the form up and just keep, putting the best team out there.
Yeah. That was an odd, odd selection.
It did not pay off.
And Garden, he just... I swear he's getting fatter. Is it not just me?
You'd think by 9 rounds of the season, you'd have lost any of the preseason.
To be fair, Pellegrini got they have some chunky number 10s. Pellegrini's not exactly, shaped beautifully, but like these jerseys don't leave much to the imagination.
No.
Like, I'm sure we wouldn't look particularly great in them either, but we don't have to wear them and play in front
of. The match jerseys are. They don't leave a lot to the imagination.
Well, because they kind of expect the people to be
in good shape.
Yeah.
I remember when they first, that's because we're old, when they first started doing the tight jerseys well over a decade ago.
Yeah.
Like they used to have loose jerseys.
Well, options is loose.
No, jerseys. Just teams just used to wear loose jerseys. Tight
before
jerseys.
Before that.
Do you remember when they first introduced the tight jersey tech?
Yeah.
Was it us and Adidas, I think, that introduced the really tight jerseys? And then when all the teams first started using them, they kept ripping because they didn't have the technology right. And the props fucking hated them because they looked like fat pricks in them, compared to the old ones, which could hide a bit of your shame. But we've had tight jerseys for such a long time now, but we never used to.
No, that's right. And you look at the other ones were just big bloody jumpers.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
There was worries about the tight ones because the props wouldn't be able to get a good grip on them at scrum time. And then they just kept ripping. The early technology was not good. It ripped like mad. You would see ripped jerseys every game. But it's gotten a lot better. But it's still not very flattering.
No.
I think I only have one or two, match jerseys.
You don't wear it often?
And I, if I can avoid wearing them. Like my Northampton jersey is a match jersey, so I constantly hope they lose. So I don't have to wear that jersey.
Look at him. Give me a hurt, folks.
No. Yeah, the Pellegrini selection was a weird one.
And yeah, that's true.
Guys in form, you're on a roll. Keep them going.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
That's what we reckon.
Yeah, that's what we think. That's his two cents and my distracteds.
Take that, Tana.
Yeah.
What do you know?
Maybe there's more to it.
Probably.
Who knows? Where is Julian Savia? Someone tell me.
You saw him playing golf.
I know, and I haven't seen him since. In playing golf or otherwise. Do you know?
No. Guess he's still not fit.
You reckon?
Don't know. He came in with an injury, right?
I don't know. He said to me he wasn't injured.
Okay. Maybe he just likes golf. Maybe one Savia is enough.
He wasn't good enough to be a professional golfer.
Okay.
We're going to have some golf chat for you Masters fans out there. He's so fucking excited.
Pumped. Absolutely pumped.
Bump, 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 bump.
But yeah, it was a good win for us. Bonus point, 36-17. We needed the bonus point.
Two in a row, mother truckers.
Yes. Boom. Coming into form.
We're amazing. We're doing it. Fantastic. Crusaders next. Oh, fuck.
Down there.
Come on, stick it up their asses. What night is it?
It is the first game of next. So this week, so Friday.
You want to come around?
Friday should be all right.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, I don't think my parents are coming that day.
Okay.
Boomfa.
Watch the live stream with me and Mark.
Be miserable.
Yeah.
More miserable than normal.
It really stings when they lose to the Crusaders.
The one side I just really don't like losing to is the Crusaders.
Oh, I hate it. I really hate losing to them.
In some ways, it angers me more than when we, like, the All Blacks lose.
When the All Blacks lose to England, I feel really bitter for some reason. Actually, when the All Blacks lose at all, I feel very bitter. But I feel very, very irritated when we lose to England.
Right.
You know, it's just something about, like, there's just a little bit of a feeling online, like, the English are just like, oh, of course, well. The small folk in the end, then the Antipodes.
Yeah, we never use the word Antipodes.
They do.
Yeah, a lot. And South Sea Islanders.
Yeah.
We never call people South Sea Islanders.
What do we call them?
Pacific Islanders?
No.
Oh, what do we call them?
Yeah. Poms? Yeah. Poms, yeah.
We've had this discussion before.
Fuckwits. No. No, we don't.
Brits?
Brits, yeah.
I remember I used the word Yanks once around an American guy who was from Texas, and he did not appreciate it.
Oh, well.
Because he didn't consider himself a Yank.
Because they fought the Yankees.
That's the thing.
Civil War.
He kind of preferred to call himself just a Texan.
Rather than an American. I'm a Texan first.
Well, also because he learned Spanish, and he said, you're always offending people when you say you're American in Spanish, because they consider all the parts of the Americas to be Americans, right? Oh, if you're Argentinian, you're American.
Yeah, sure.
So they don't like people saying, I'm American in Spanish. So he would always say, I'm Texan.
I'm proud to be an American, because at least I know I'm free.
That guy, speaking of, as my son would put it, a fatty boy Chungus. Like, that guy, I'm still friends with him on Facebook. He's put on, I met this guy in China like over a decade ago. He's put on a shitload of weight.
Yeah, that happened.
He's
ballooned. Where at that
he
age?
He looks happy as fuck. So yeah, that's good. Good on him.
Good on
him,
well
and
done.
And he always had a good appetite. He played tennis. I think I might have talked about it. He played tennis.
Quite
really competitively at university, but he was like quite a fat guy then as well. So he would just like big serve and run to the net.
We're at that age now when we run into people from school, it can go one of two ways and be like,
he's in good shape.
Yeah, he's all right. Or he'd be like, whoa! He's
lost all his hair.
Yeah, he looks fucking... Life's really done one on him.
Old.
It's good being old.
I met one of my... It was over a year ago now, but I caught up with one of my high school mates. He'd since had like fucking four kids and shit. And like the first 5 minutes of us chatting, we were talking about like, oh, I had knee surgery. And he's like, oh yeah, I had my back and blah, blah, blah. That's how you know you're old.
I've just come from a prostate check.
Exactly.
All right.
The Highlanders beat the Drua.
The Drua came back in that one, didn't they?
They looked like they were going to pinch it.
Yeah, there was
they were on fire.
But then they actually ended up in scoreline.
Oh, yeah, the Highlanders were just like kicking them the ball, and the Drua were like, we'll run it back at you.
Yeah, I think these are two of the teams that probably shouldn't be in the top six at the end of the
year. Well, currently neither of them is in the top six.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing for us because we need some bloody wins. Mm. Are we playing? Who we got to? That loss against the Canes, that was a bad loss that we took, wasn't it?
We beat the Canes two times.
No, not the Canes, the Highlanders.
Yes, down there we lost to them.
Yeah, we lost to them in round two. Yeah, I like some really lovely tries from the Drua.
Logan Amasi is magic.
Yeah. So much great talent and stuff like that, but then so much soft defense at times, you know. There was that one that...
Are you the guy leaving comments on the Super Rugby highlights?
That's me. There was one try where, was it what's the number 13 from Highlanders? Mullet guy?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, scored one, and he fends off a guy, and the guy's kind of still got him. He scragged him. And then there are another three defenders come in and are there to hold the ball up, but somehow he still gets it down, and there's just no excuse for that. Oh, sure, he's a big, powerful man and a big fella, but you're a professional rugby athlete. You should be able to hold and prevent him from getting to the line. He didn't have much, you know, in the way of pace or momentum. Like, he was determined to run, but...
Should have been
stopped. Someone should have got a limb under it somehow. Mm. That was, and there seems to be a lot of that. Like, there's a lot of just soft moments that really let them down. Mm. Yeah, and then they had the game by the scruff of the neck. Was it a yellow that happened? There was a yellow that happened late in the game that didn't do them any favors.
And then, like, the hooker, the reserve hooker for the Highlanders scored, and that just kind of killed the momentum.
See, I watched rugby.
You did.
Yeah. It's hard, because before we do this sometimes, we look at each other and go, do you know what happened? You cover it and you have to talk about it afterwards. So you know a lot. And then you're like, did you watch it? And I'm like, I did, but I can't.
Sometimes I can't remember. It kind of blurs in.
Come test season, we're on top of it.
I think so.
Yeah. These are the winter months. Yes. Well, these are the going north of the wall type of thing.
Like, is that a Game of Thrones reference?
It is a little bit. I don't know how that analogy works. The Great
Wall
of China.
Yes.
I haven't.
Well, they say once you climb to the top of the Great Wall, you're a real man. So.
So I'm not quite there yet.
Not yet. And you better get it done because a lot of steps. It'd be bad for your knees.
I went for a 19K run on the weekend. Am I a real man?
Did you go up the Great Wall on the run?
I had to go to a big ass fucking hill over there.
That's true. But did you go up the Great Wall?
No, it's not in my area of West Auckland.
Damn. It's a pretty big wall.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How far does it actually go?
Fucking miles.
Oh, come on. I know it goes for a long time.
I don't have the stats on that one.
Give me the stats.
It's pretty fucking big.
I'd like to know. I was really expecting
a lot of it's like the touristy sections are all...
We're talking over like 1,500 miles?
I don't know.
What areas does it go through?
Most of northern China, because it was to kind of stop them from getting invaded by the
Mongols.
It
must be over 4,000
km. It's not even like one complete long continuous wall. It's like patchwork.
So the length of Australia is like 4,200 km or something like that.
You're not going to get me to commit to a number because I just don't know.
God, this is so disappointing.
I know.
Hold on.
It's pretty long.
I'll look this up, man.
Okay.
The length of the Great Wall of China. I was going to say some shit about, well, an area that you can go on. Okay. Should I say the original length?
No.
The length of your cock. The
Great Wall of China.
Great Wall. China. Wow. 21,196 kilometers.
It's pretty long.
What is that in miles?
Don't know.
Is that like 17,000 miles?
Yeah, it's pretty long.
No, it's 13,170 miles.
It's quite far.
Fargendargen. That is fucking massive. Like,
China had issues with
China
the peoples,
is so big.
Peoples of the steppe invading them.
Really?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure the width of Australia is like
Mongols. The
Australia
Jurchens.
Is massive, but I'm pretty sure if you go from like Perth to Sydney, it's like it's just 4,500 kilometers.
The Jurchens, the Khitan. There's a lot of people who invaded them on horseback.
Poor butt, and then that's what they put up.
Put up a big fucking wall.
Wow. So the wildlings want to get them.
Exactly.
The old wildlings. Holy smokes, that's incredible. I hope you've learned something today.
I would recommend it. If you go to China, it's worth going to the Great Wall. It's pretty great.
I've told you about my new experience in China, haven't I?
Does it involve taking a shit?
Look, I may have taken a shit in there, but I didn't realize it was a feature of the story. No, it's only been, I've spent like multiple, like
layovers.
10 to 16 hour layovers in Guangzhou. In
southern China.
And one time I was going to Europe.
There's no Great Wall there.
I was going to the UK once, and I was like, I don't have enough clothes. And I was like, I'll just buy some.
Oh, and they said you were too fat.
Yeah, that's right. I was just like, I'll just buy some clothes in this in China on the way through. And then I was just looking through anywhere, and they were like, they look like children's clothes. And then I was like, if you go anything bigger, and she was just like, nah, you're too fat. Pretty blunt.
Yeah, the Chinese people are quite blunt. Mm. They'll often give you a, like, you know, we say that, like, oh, you've lost weight. They'll be like, you've put on a few.
Yeah.
You've put on a few kegs. You're getting a bit fat.
You look fat, don't you?
Yeah, they genuinely do that. So.
And you're like, oh, yeah,
thanks for that. Must be the Northampton jersey I'm wearing.
Yeah.
The Reds got toppled by the Brumbies in the top of the table Aussie conference battle.
That was in Queensland, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Reds were like 14-0 up.
Yeah. And that was in pretty quick succession getting those early tries as well. And you thought, okay, this is going to be, might be a bit into it, but the class will win out.
I got a $10 offer from Betcha, the TAB's second website. They were like, put on a $10 bet this weekend and we'll match you in bonus bets. So I was like, oh, I'll put 10 bucks on the Reds. They should win that one. 14-0 up. And I was like, oh, I should have put more. And then they lost.
Thanks, Reds.
Lost my fucking $10.
Yeah. This is a game that I watched.
That's why you don't gamble.
I watched this game. You know that? I actually sat there.
You didn't watch two Aussie teams play.
I did.
Did you pick your fantasy team?
No, I haven't done it since like round two. I think I'm like coming 46,000th in the comp. Was it on Friday night?
Saturday.
No, I didn't. I didn't watch it. I went out on the piss with a couple of mates. Had a great night. Ended up at the casino. Won at the casino. Never go, but.
So here I was losing $10.
I walked away with maybe $200.
Holy shit! What game did you play?
I usually just get out money. I go probably once a year, I'd say, when I'm just out with some buddies and stuff. Yep. I think I got out $150, but I only used $60.
Yeah.
And that $60 turned into...
But what games did you play?
Oh, so I played blackjack and roulette.
Oh, fuck roulette.
Roulette. Because I won $100 in my blackjack. And then I just
What denomination were you put on the $5 table or the $10?
$15 table.
Wow.
And then the roulette, we don't know what the fuck we're doing. My mate won roulette when he just put a fiver and it hit the number and he turned it to $175.
Holy moly.
That was great. Wow, so we had a great time. And I just basically put most of my winnings down on black and I got it all back as well. So
nice.
Walked away with a bit of cash.
There you go.
Up a couple of $100 and kept the other. Yeah, I only took $60 out of my pocket and made a couple $100 out of it. But then blew it all on shit. It was a real old school night. Went to some restaurant, Ponsonby, with a mate of mine back from the UK.
Sounds about right.
And then, what do you Ponsonby. Mean?
This guy, sure boy.
And then went to the casino and then ended up in Denny's.
Wow.
We had two meals.
Was it one of your birthdays? Because you can eat free if it's your birthday.
No, it wasn't. We spent our winnings at Denny's.
Wow, that's kind of sad.
Oh, it was good. It's like being like 18 again. You know how you kind of end up in Denny's? Yeah.
Literally, I remember going out on the piss and ending up in Denny's.
It's shit.
It's terrible food.
It's the worst food ever, really.
But when you're on the piss, it just seems so appealing.
Yeah. We're old enough to realize it was real bad. I had a double cheeseburger or something, but it was fine. Got through it.
Well, the Reds lost, and you didn't watch it.
We went to a couple of bars and shit as well.
Okay.
But I watched the highlights of it. Okay. Or I watched the replay. I feel like I watched a substantial part of the game.
Just generally comfortable. Once they came back, they just looked the better side. It's quite concerning for the Reds.
So the Reds and the Waratahs have both started the campaigns relatively well. The Brumbies have been bubbling away. The Force have been doing okay.
Force were on the bye.
Yeah, so they struggled to get the win. Where are the so who's inside and outside the six at the moment?
Currently, the Chiefs have dropped to second. The Crusaders have taken first spot. Those guys are on 28 and 27, so they're they're one win ahead of everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Brumbies and Reds are both on 23, and the Waratahs and Force are on 21 and 20. That's your top six. So it's still four Aussie sides, but the top two sides are Kiwi.
Wow.
And then you got the Highlanders, Hurricanes, Blues. So the three Kiwi sides are on 17, 16, 16. Then Moana and Dodrua are in.
Can I ask the final you two. A relatively Blues centric question?
We got the Crusaders next, but the rest of our draw doesn't look too bad.
All right. So if we can get the. If we could get a win this weekend, it's going to really put us in good shape to come home with a wet sail.
Maybe. We still may be able to sneak in even if we lose this weekend.
Okay. Let's go Blues. Mm. One of my secret desires. It's not even that secret. I'm telling it to these fine Force. People on the internet.
It's
that we qualify sixth. Crusaders qualify number one.
And we knock them out.
That's not the way it works, though. If they qualify one, qualify six, they could be the lucky loser.
They're guaranteed to be going through as lucky loser if they qualify first.
Fucking lucky losers.
Damn. Yeah.
Anyway, I'd like to knock them out somehow.
Good on you for remembering that we're part of the playoff system.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that. It's not often you compliment me. It means a lot to me.
There you go. Crusaders Blues next week. Drua Waratahs. That's in Lautoka. Lautoka is like their fortress. When they play at Suva, they don't win that much.
So is that the Tars here?
Yeah, Tars are in Lautoka.
I give it to the Tars. Just think on the back
the
of that.
The Chiefs lost in Lautoka.
But I just think on the back of that, when they know they're playing for a little bit more, and the Drua have only got one win this whole year,
and it was in Lautoka.
You've mentioned this, but have they lost in Lautoka yet?
Not this season.
So they've only played once in Lautoka.
100% record.
Okay. No, I'm going to give it to the Tars.
These sides have beaten the Chiefs.
I just don't.
Chiefs have only lost two games.
And it's to these two teams.
Exactly right.
I just don't think the Drua have.
Glenn Jackson have it in coach, there. So.
He's an old referee and an old Bay of Plenty Plenty player.
Moana Pacifica is hosting the Brumbies.
Oh, come on, Northern Moana. Come on, North Moana.
See how the Brumbies travel. Yep. They beat us, remember? So they've won in Auckland this year so far.
They did, didn't they?
Second trip to Auckland for them.
Nice.
Chiefs are hosting the Highlanders. One would think Chiefs to bounce back.
Chiefs will do that one.
And then the Hurricanes will travel to Perth to face the Force. For me, that's the game I think I am most interested in this weekend.
Because
the Force are in sixth. They're coming off the bye. Had a week. You know, the Hurricanes have got to travel about as far as you have to travel in any Super Rugby game.
You're basically going to Asia.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So they've got to travel to Perth.
When you go anywhere like west, basically, of New Zealand, you feel like you travel across Australia for so much of your trip.
Yeah.
Like, it's all day. You just look down and you just see
There's that little map. You watch a movie, you've watched an entire movie, and you're like, the fuck, I'm still over Darwin.
Exactly. Like fucking Alice Springs, jeez.
Like, I was over Brisbane when I started this movie. What the fuck? I'm still over Australia.
Yeah, Australia's massive.
Yeah, it's massive.
So that makes me wonder about, did I get my measurements wrong? What's the width of Australia? I'm sure it was 4,500 Ks. That's 21,000 kilometers. That's so far. All right, width.
Width of Australia.
Of Australia. Yeah, it's 4,000 kilometers.
4,000. 400,000.
4,000.
What?
4,000 kilometers.
That can't be right.
It is fucking right. Ned Brockman ran across it in just over 40 days.
400,000 is ridiculous. What am I thinking?
Yeah. The whole planet isn't 400,000 kilometers.
Yeah. I don't think the Great Wall was how many?
What's that?
How many was the Great Wall?
21,000.
It can't be right. Something's not right.
Well, no. That's why I'm just really struggling to understand. Because Australia's fucking massive. But you know, we get these things, our maps aren't accurate at all. They're really not accurate. Like,
Africa always looks tiny, but it's massive. Europe always looks huge, but it's smaller. Tiny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. New Zealand looks bigger than it should be as well, doesn't it?
I think
it?
So.
Yeah. We're bigger than England.
This is true. We're just smaller than Japan.
Well, and Japan looks bigger than us, don't they?
Yeah, they are bigger than us.
Well, but they look much bigger.
And they got, like, if you took off Hokkaido, I think we're about
we need a
size.
New map. And show me.
I think it's hard to put a three-dimensional object on a 2D map, a flat map. That's just why that works.
Width. Oh, so I'm going to go width of the. Is it because it's wiggly?
Yeah, it's wiggly. And there's more, like I said, there's multiple sections.
Okay, of the Great Wall. With the Great Wall.
It's a rugby podcast. Brought to you by the Great Wall.
Oh, now
China.
It's telling me it's 13 to 60 feet or 4 to 5 meters in like width. Like if I walk from this side of the wall to that side of the wall.
It's not that wide. It's just really long.
Yeah. I just...
Did you think it was that... You didn't think it was that...
No, I didn't. No, I realized it looks like that. But no, it's 21,000.
That's surely exaggerated.
This googly wooglies.
It's never been wrong before.
Never, ever.
Super Rugby. We're more than halfway through the regular season.
Sorry, I'm just looking at the Great Wall of China on a map. So, look at it.
Yeah, it's pretty big. It's called great for a reason.
She's
it's
great.
It's not called the pretty impressive Wall of China.
The wee Wall of China.
You know what it's called in Chinese? It's called the Long Wall. I guess because it's pretty fucking long.
1,000 kilometers. Holy shit.
But it's not continuous. It's bits and pieces.
But it was continuous originally.
I don't think so.
Anyway.
Did you watch any Champions Cup for our European viewers and listeners? I'm sure you've timestamped this in right here.
Boom.
So they've skipped Toulouse, all the prostate check. They've skipped all the...
Toulouse-Toulon, it seemed like a tense affair.
That one was a proper, like, kind of test matchy feel.
Yeah, like
rain,
get your points when you can.
Take your penalties over your rivals. Great atmosphere.
Ramos not getting the kick.
Quarterfinal.
It's one of the silliest, one of the strangest yellow cards I've seen for a while.
There was the head.
I don't think it was a. He went in high, but as far as I could see, they didn't even kiss.
The Saran one.
The number 9, and that was a crucial moment.
Yeah,
and
they
conceded a try after it, with old Peter Aki knocking about. Good North Harbour man.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He has since played for Tonga.
Right.
I think he was captured by New Zealand. Was he an All Black or was he a Sevens? Might have been a one-cap All Black.
Might have been.
Hmm.
But it was good to see him out there.
Yes.
But yeah, it looked like a very tense encounter. Ramos missed a couple of crucial ones, but when
and
it really...
They also had a try denied the halfback growl, like lost it over the line.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't look quite right, did it, when he was putting it down?
Just kind of bobbled it.
Yeah, but a tense affair, and Ramos comes good when it really counts.
He'd just right missed one a few minutes before from a scrum, and then he gets another chance at it and slots it. He looked kind of relieved.
Cut it in right at the right moment.
Looked just relieved.
Yeah. But look, and it looks like... they carried on like they'd won the whole bloody comp.
They really did. That meant a lot to them.
I think is that probably the French derby, like the highest profile derby, or is La Rochelle?
I don't actually know.
It was actually kind of cool to be able to watch a bit of it because we don't actually get much French on French rugby. We don't watch bugger all. And we're talking about super high class players.
For sure.
Yeah. The Jelly Bear was 10 for Toulon versus
Bordeaux.
Was it?
10 for...
Oh, who was
it? Was Garbisi for Toulon.
Who was...
up against...
Who was taking the kicks for Toulon?
Jaminet.
Jaminet, not Jelly Bear.
That's right. Damn, both start with a J.
And they do both start with a J. Damn it. What's his name? I was going to say Carreras. No, the number 3... he got a yellow card. Was that the Toulon player?
The prop for falling on Crissot's leg.
Yeah. It's interesting, all this sort of, they're really coming, cracking down
on the falling on the lower
the
limb
prop
stuff.
Rope.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting? Like, it's a massive thing in NRL, is that they call it the hip drop.
Yeah.
And
somebody got hit, like, was it Jorgensen or something got injured with a
hip drop
tackle?
Massive hip drop tackle. And it's a giant, giant no-no.
In the NRL.
In NRL. Like, you can get easy, like, you... It's far more lenient on high shots, but if you do a hip drop, you get
fighting, time. It's like fighting words kind of thing.
Yeah, well, you get time in the burn very, very quickly. Basically, you've got an attacker coming towards you. They've kind of beaten you. Well, they haven't beaten you, but you've got a hold of them. But you've ended up, your body is now behind them. And instead of like going forward and taking them down with your forward momentum, like your chest, you drop your hips onto their legs as they're running, and that can cause like serious injury.
Yep.
Like, it's a pretty natural kind of tackle technique.
Yeah,
but the
consequences can be.
And Jorgensen,
he's got to have surgery, I think,
on a hip drop, yep. And there was zero consequences for that. So that game was in. So that player would have been sent to the bin at least during the game, put on a report, and given a multiple match ban in NRL. So they're big on. I guess it's more just confrontational and guys just getting part. The hip drop's a massive no-no. The other one that's a massive no-no over there is the crunch tackle. Is it a crunch or something like that? What do they call it? But it's the one where a player goes down and you apply pressure to the back of their neck as they go down. So they kind of you force their chin into their chest. So they're big on that one too.
Unusual to hear that the league is tougher on stuff than you.
Yeah, I think it's
like
just
some of the high shots that I see when I see league. It's like, holy fuck, it's a red card in rugby. And it's like, that's a good hit.
Yeah. That's very different. But the croc roll, the hip drop and the crunch tackle. I think it's called, I'm not sure if it's called a crunch tackle. Mm. Those are the ones they
can. But yeah, they are policing the croc rolls. So that was a yellow card for Bai.
But the reason
there was no intent. That one was just, I think a guy came in behind him and just kind of knocked him partially over. But
I feel sorry for the guys who get pinged for it sometimes, but you've just got to be so careful, cleaning out. Like, when you're cleaning out, you've got to just kind of fall straight. You can't, it's so natural. You're on a mound, for God's sake, to go to either side of it. Yeah, oh well. Because it can really, really injure players, I guess.
That was probably the best game, the most fitting of a quarterfinal. Great atmosphere, 3-point margin, at the death, the kick, only a couple of tries in the rain.
Now,
the other games were all kind of blowouts.
Can we stop getting blowouts in this? So I saw the highlights from the Northampton game.
I only watched the highlights of that one as well, 51-16. It was kind of close at halftime.
What this guy, what's this kid who looks like a freaking helmet?
Henry Pollock. You don't like, you're usually the guy who's like, stop being a grumpy old man.
No.
When I'm like, he fucking loves himself.
I think when you're up by that much and you, a milk you put down and then you put it down and then you do a basketball shot with the ball afterwards, you're acting like a bit of a twat. I don't mind someone showing a bit of personality, maybe I do, apparently.
Yeah.
But, like, he just seemed like, personality is one thing, but if your personality is a twat, I'm going to be like, you're acting like a twat. Like, that's what it seemed to be to me.
Like, I don't mind it too much, but I would, in my heart of hearts, fucking love to see him get blindsided while he's doing it. For me. That would satisfy me to know it.
Yeah.
Because that might make him think twice about it.
He looks like a really good player.
Fuck yeah.
He looks like a really high quality player who's probably got a huge ceiling on him in terms of what he could offer not only his club team, but yeah. He seems like a very, very good player. Didn't he score two tries?
Yeah, two tries in that game.
Yeah. And he's got a try on debut for England as well. So can't do it.
Don't want to put him in the Lions conversation?
Yeah.
The Lions is going to be stacked for back rows.
Yeah, it's probably the hardest position to actually crack right now.
That's true.
Maybe there's an injury, they throw him over there for experience, something like that.
Yeah, maybe, but
who knows?
Northampton, very good.
Who's your bolter in the Lions?
Well, given that Andy Farrell's the coach, I would not surprise me to see him take Prendergast, the Irish 10.
Oh, yeah.
Just because, Prendergast will benefit if he goes on the tour with Ireland because they're playing, I think,
I'd rather see Crawley.
Crowley, for fuck's sake. Mr. Crawley is the guy from Downton Abbey. No, it's Crawley. No, it is Crawley.
No, that's Mr. Bates.
Master Bates.
Mr. Bates?
Jack Crowley?
I'd rather see him.
Okay.
I prefer him than Prendergast.
Well, he might take both. He could take 3-10s.
Oh, God.
He might not take Smith. Who knows? But,
yeah. Well, my only thing, my concern with Farrell is he's, it can become One of the things I think cost them in 2019 and then cost them...
Loyalty.
Well, he's just refusal to sort of mix up his squad a little bit, you know? It's
he's
just
very consistent.
Same guys playing the same positions every week, and they're a high-quality team. And
sometimes that's benefited
them.
Like, remember when they, came down 100%. Here, they lost the first test at Eden Park.
He didn't change
shit.
There were
people who were like, you know, oh, I need to change this guy, I need to change that guy. And he was like, fuck it. He named exactly the same team.
Yeah.
It was either the same 15 or even the same 23. But he was like, no, I back these guys to do a job. And he was, you know, justified 100% right. in that one. But... Yeah. There's a fine balance of bringing in the young blood and leaving the other guys out.
It's a fine balance.
But I wouldn't be surprised if he took Prendergast for experience.
Seriously.
Prendergast played fucking well for Leinster. But it's easier to play well, when you've got a pack going forward, like they're going forward.
100%. Would you say Leinster are the most hated team in Europe?
Yeah, people don't like Leinster.
No, they don't.
Because they've got lots of good players.
Yeah.
They're just like, we're just going to bring on Jordy Barrett for just a season.
Yeah, why not? He looked great the weekend, though, didn't he?
He looked very good.
On defense and attack, both sides of the ball, as they say.
He's a good player. He's looking at the Canes season. He must be thinking, pretty glad I'm in Dublin right now.
Well, maybe he'd be helping the Canes get a few more dubs.
Yeah, maybe.
If he was in
although their midfield looked all right. Like,
I'm sure but Jordy meant to be available for us for the French series.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so we'll slide him in there. See how he goes. He'll be as pale as a, that poor bastard's winter after winter after winter. He's in an endless winter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ruthless. It's just there'll be just one nice sunny day in that part of the world before he leaves, and he'll be like, "Oh, I'm going back to July, New Zealand."
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty horrendous.
Yeah, and
very wet.
It's not that we haven't had too much crappy weather so far.
No.
At all.
It's been pretty reasonable.
Been pretty good. Weather chat with...
2 cents. Getting distracted. Rugby podcast.
There you go. Fantastic. You know what's good about this? I don't have to slide a sponsor in.
Yeah. We didn't get any sponsors.
We're up. Yeah. Do you think it's part of it is that this is the...
quiet season?
This is the hardest time. Every year we do this. We end on a high. We start on a good high. We end on a high. And I'm like, yeah, we'll go around it. That was a good fun. And I still have a lot of good fun doing this.
Yeah.
But these are the hardest weeks to do when it's just
I
like...
I often text you in the morning on a Monday. And I'm like, are we podcasting? Or doing the pod? And like often during the peak season, you'll reply very quickly. Like, yes. Today, there was like... there was a gap between my text
no,
and your
reply. No, I had no reason not to.
Okay.
But I was thinking to myself, I don't know what the hell I'm going to talk about. But I've sat here on a microphone.
It's never stopped you before.
It's true. It's very, very true. But I watched. It's so hard when you just don't.
What did you think of Leinster in Glasgow?
That much of a fuck.
52-0.
Pretty inconsequentially nothing. Like, they're obviously Leinster are a very, very good team. It was sad to see
Glasgow get hammered
to that extent, especially considering last year's performance. But
in the URC.
Yeah, but it is what it is. It was no surprises. It's nice to see Jordy Barrett get up. Nice to see some happy Irish people. Would have I watched those highlights if I wasn't going to have to talk about them? Probably not.
52-0 is pretty emphatic.
Yeah. I wouldn't show that to somebody I'm trying to convince to watch rugby.
There's not a lot in it for the neutrals unless you just like want to see some tries.
Yeah, exactly. Go watch 7.
The other one was the Bordeaux against Munster game.
I don't know who won this. So, this is the one game where was it played?
Bordeaux were at home.
Oh, bugger.
They've got Maxime Luku, who's usually Antoine Dupont's backup.
Yeah,
who's
been playing very well.
Jali Bears at 10. They've got Damien Penaud.
I really want Munster at 1.
And they've got Louis Bielbierre.
And Munster beat La Rochelle last week.
Yes, Munster beat La Rochelle. So, Munster had Tyke Byrne and Jack... Mr. Crowley.
Yeah.
Crawley, Frawley.
Mr. Baird. I'm going to say, against my better judgment, that Munster won.
They did not.
Fuck. I was hoping that they won. What was the score?
It was... Munster got 20, I think 29.
What?
29.
Oh.
And Bordeaux got 47.
Ouch.
Yeah. Defense Bordeaux option. Went out to like a, I can't even remember how much. It was like 20. It was like 3-0 lead.
All right.
And then Munster would like get back within 2 scores and then Bordeaux would score again.
Okay.
Back within 2 scores, score again.
Fantastic. Have we covered enough rugby? Is it time to talk about the real sporting events of the day?
Bill Ray got a try. Peno got a try.
Some serious gas. Some was it a kick ahead try?
Bill Ray one was late. Was it a kick ahead? I can't even remember.
Yeah, right.
It's been that much rugby.
Right.
The Northampton game had a kick ahead try for the fucking hooker, Langdon.
Wow.
That one was pretty sweet.
There was that big head-on-head contact, and he sort of put a toe in touch in the Northampton game.
That's true. It?
Yeah, that was
there was yellow cards in this game, so penalty counts were pretty high across the board.
It was a three-way, in the Northampton game, there was a three-way yellow card, right. Which was silly.
That's right. But I mean,
like, that just seemed like the referee just got his ego just going out of control. Like,
fuck you, players.
Yeah. Like,
what do you think about
fuck you, fans,
as well. The fact that the scorelines are 52-0, 47-29, and 51-16, plus the close game, which was 21-18. Is that a problem, or do you think that's just shit happens?
That's just, I don't know, that's just rugby, isn't it? Like, and it's quarterfinal
stage.
I don't know, because I think you would have to, if you looked at it in a historical context beyond this year, these results would be more of an aberration than a consistent sort of trend. Like, this will be, these are outliers, aren't they? Is there something going on, or something? Is there been a rule change or something like that is causing?
I think in recent
years, is this prevalent across the top 14 of Premiership in the URC?
From what Champions Cup I've watched over the last 5 years or so, Rugby World Cup, there always seems to be like 4 or 5 teams who are like genuine contenders in the Champions Cup. Like in recent years, it's been La Rochelle, Leinster, Toulouse. And then just prior to that, it was like Exeter and Saracens and like Racing 92. There's been like a handful of teams who are like genuine contenders, well, and everyone else is kind of an also.
It's interesting that we just, in terms of, like, it's just geographically, but we've never been able to see how the Chiefs go against Northampton or how Toulouse goes against the Crusaders or anything.
The closest
like that.
We've had is seeing the South African teams go from Super Rugby to the URC.
Yeah.
That's the closest we've had, because the South African team's winning the URC straight after leaving Super Rugby.
A tournament
made me think, like, maybe New Zealand rugby's really good.
Well,
because these guys couldn't win Super Rugby for years. Yeah. And then they go into that competition first year and both the finalists, South African teams. But then also it's a very different story traveling up to Europe compared to traveling fucking halfway across the world. So,
but yeah,
it's not really apples with apples.
It's not. And they haven't won since, have they?
Storm was won at the first year. Munster won at the second year. Glasgow won at the third year. So,
we're in the fourth year now. But, yeah. Anyway, is it time to talk about the real sporting events of the day?
Leinster are going to play Northampton in a month's time.
Leinster will win.
And then Bordeaux is going to host Toulouse. That'll be a cracker.
I think
it's on at 2 o'clock in the morning.
I probably won't watch it.
Fuck that shit. I think Northampton list is like 4:30.
What an exciting rugby podcast. Our opinions on exciting games coming up are, I won't watch it and fuck that shit.
Yeah. Just don't like the kickoff times. French rugby usually loves a good afternoon kickoff.
What are you looking at?
I just saw the camera flashed up with some words, but maybe not. The red light's still flashing.
If you're watching this, there's no problem. If you're not watching this, I apologize.
Okay. We have talked rugby. You want to talk about the Warriors going down?
No, I don't want to talk about the Warriors losing to the fucking Storm again. It's not what I want to talk about. Volk.
Volkanovski.
Volk, the 36-year-old.
That sounds like a fighter's name. What's the origin of that name?
Macedonian.
Is it really? Is it related to Alexander?
His name is Alexander the Great.
Okay.
Volkanovski.
Yeah. Being his granddad or something?
Philip is his granddad.
Well, wasn't Philip Alexander's dad, Philip of Macedon? Or am I getting that wrong?
Maybe you are. Didn't he like trying to, and his father got murdered or something like that? And then, did he get murdered by a Persian king? And then he eventually killed that king in the Great Battle of Gaugamela.
Gaugamela. I remember he defeated Darius a few times.
Yeah. Was that a Gaugamela?
There was a few battles, yeah. One of them was Gaugamela.
Like, then they stayed up all night just waiting for them. And Alex That's was right. like, no, we're going to have a fucking nap.
Yeah.
And had a good sleep and then got his boys all riled up and
yep.
and then rode some fucking...
He used to like riding his horses like straight through.
Yeah, and then create Darius a penetrable like, trap yeah. and then like...
Darius would be the, like, fuck this shit. And ran off.
Battle of Gaugamela was a cracker. Probably its best work, I reckon.
Did you watch that movie, Alexander, with Colin Farrell?
No.
I remember that one had terrible reviews.
I just remember the shit from fucking classics.
I had to classics. Yeah, it's Greek vase painting and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, that was stuff. I really liked, we did Octavius.
Okay.
Which I would have glandular fever for that term. I had glandular fever. This is my marks in the exam. There was one essay I had to do about Octavius, mm-hmm. and I got 4 out of 25.
Yowza.
And then for the one on Alexander the Great, I had to do, I can't remember what it was. And then I got 21 out of 25 for that because it's far more interesting.
Mm.
So it evened out as 50%.
Okay.
But I did, the other thing, I used to like Aristophanes, okay. the Greek playwright who wrote all like the wasps and the bees and all that sort of stuff. Wrote a lot of shit about Dionysus.
Okay, all the drinking.
Yeah, we all the drinking and fucking.
Who was the ones with the...
Sticking a stick in places.
Okay. That's how you get the clap.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was the guy who did the red herring? Who's the guy that play comes from? The guy who did the... What do you even call those stories which are like...
Or the
subtle digs at people.
Oh, like a satire.
Yeah, the satire. Juvenile.
Oh,
Juvenile
right.
satires.
Yeah, right. We did they those. Like that shit over there.
Yeah.
They quite like that. They like to dig.
Yeah, we did Greek vase painting.
No, Greek vase painting sucks my ass.
That was all right.
We did Roman architecture.
Okay. I think we did that.
And then we went to Rome the next year, and I was like, holy shit, that's from that book.
Nice. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. But anyway, this is not what we're meant to be talking about.
Volkanovski.
Okay, Volkanovski. I don't want to talk about him for too long, but he became the oldest champion in the lightweight divisions. Nobody under lightweight has ever won post 35. He's almost 37. He beat Diego Lopez, a very, very, very strong up-and-comer. Oh, like an absolute savage, actually. Quite handily, probably 4-1, but 3-2, definitely. It's become the two-time champion, Alexander Volkanovski, the great man. Paddy the Batty took down Michael Chandler. Paddy the Batty's always been underrated, and Michael Chandler's a game motherfucking fighter. Paddy the Batty got up and did it in style. Bryce Mitchell got his fucking lights cut off in very, very satisfying fashion by... forgotten his name, but the reason it was satisfying, the Bryce Mitchell is this redneck fuckwit who has these very strange conspiracy views, but has most recently on a podcast indicated, like, talked about his fondness of one Adolf Hitler. So it was very, very satisfying for
him to get knocked the fuck out.
It wasn't knocked the fuck out, just choked the fuck out.
Okay.
Lights out on the canvas. But anyway,
Hitler's kind of a hard one to get behind.
Yeah, it is.
Because, most of history is kind of, like, grey.
Yes.
Like, a lot of people get portrayed as, like, villains or heroes, depending mm-hmm. on who's right in the history. But
and who won.
He's one that's kind of, like, pretty much universal.
You can hear it in his rhetoric about Jews and stuff like that. You're
just
like,
a piece of shit.
Yeah, an absolute piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can say that around... pretty much all companies safely, even Germans, you know?
Exactly. And especially like, Germans.
Yeah, they fucking hate him. It's an interesting moment for young Germans when they realize when they're growing up that they were the bad guys, apparently.
Yeah.
There's a moment they all have to come to and like, oh
damn,
we were the bad guys.
Yeah.
Anyway, so great card for UFC 314. Fantastic card. If those of you watched it, you would agree.
I didn't watch it. Just FYI.
It's okay. It's all right. I don't.
Too busy watching the Warriors get
Maybe one of the greatest majors of all time.
Tony likes golf.
Happened this morning.
Some of your Irish fans probably like this news.
The great man, Rory McIlroy, after 14 years of waiting to complete his Grand Slam of majors, finally fucking did it.
He gets a green jacket.
He gets a green jacket, and just the amount of pent up relief and joy that just came over me when he did it was massive. But just the way he did it, it was hard work, man. He had a very, very good lead. So he starts the day, right?
Yeah.
He starts the day 13 under, something like that. He's got Bryson DeChambeau in the final group with him. DeChambeau's a YouTuber. I quite like Bryson as well.
You've showed me his videos, I think.
So it was billed like this massive, you know, blockbuster battle between these two individuals. Made even spicier due to the fact that Bryson DeChambeau beat him at last year's US Major by one shot on the final putt after bloody McIlroy missed 2 3-footers. After getting like 500 3-footers in a row, missed 2 3-footers on the final two holes of the US Major. Choked it big time. Anyway, so they start playing today. Fucking good old Matt.
He's in the lead.
No, he's leading. He's playing. You know, he had a very interesting tournament, but he's leading. He's 13.
Leading by how many shots?
By 2 shots.
So if he just plays pretty good, he should be sweet.
There's so much more to come.
Okay.
Okay, so he's 13 under. Bryson DeChambeau is 11 under. They both start with pretty poor tee shots. DeChambeau manages to scramble out a par, which is pretty good.
Don't tell me McIlroy bogeys it.
He double bogeys it.
So they're at evens.
Even Stevens. Holy fuck knuckle. Right, so then you're like, oh god, here we go.
I don't watch golf, but you're selling it to me.
It's the tension. You're just like, oh no, this can't be happening. Next hole.
Has he come close to the Masters before?
Yeah. He in 2013, in 2011, he was winning by 3 shots. Ooh. And shat the bed.
2011.
He's been going since
the year we won the World Cup. When Richie McCaw.
He's been going since 2008. He's the greatest golfer of our generation. Obviously, he's not quite the same generation as Tiger Woods.
Post-Tiger generation.
But he's a freak. And he's there and thereabouts.
They can play for ages, can't they?
Well, yeah. Like, two-time player was 74, almost made the cut this year. Was he 74? I've forgotten. Two-time Masters champion. I've forgotten his name. Old bloke, obviously. I can't remember his name. Anyway.
Gary Player. Jack Nicklaus.
Was it Gary Player? I don't know. If you just pulled out the right name, it's going to be irritating. Anyway, so and then in the next hole, he pars it, but then did Bryson birdie it? Anyway, somehow Bryson gets the lead on the second or the third.
Okay.
And you're just thinking, oh, shit. Here we go. He's 10 under. Bryson's now managing to stay at 11 under or something along those lines. Then on the third, he comes back with a par. Bryson goes with a bogey. There's another 2-shot swing. He takes the lead back. Then he starts to play relatively consistently.
Oh, consistent. Okay.
Gets himself in some tricky spots. Has some windows to get out of. The ninth was interesting. Plays some fantastic shots.
Are you watching this like shot by shot?
Yeah, I'm watching it. It's
how long does it take?
Too long.
We're talking
a couple of hours. So a few hours. So it's just so compelling.
Does the coverage mostly stay on him, or is it going around to all the other?
No, they take a tee shot, right? And then if it's a par five or something like that, they're going to have a wee walk, and then they'll cut to the guys doing really good shots or guys making moves throughout the throughout the field.
And they cut back to the leaders.
And then they cut back to the leaders, and then you always see the kind of leader shot. So you saw a lot of Bryson and McIlroy. This was billed like the biggest title, biggest heavyweight fight of all time. Golf. You know, Sunday at the Masters, at Augusta, like these two who are building this kind of special little rivalry. It was fucking massive. Like, the golf world is just jizzing all over itself right now. Okay. Anyway, so he starts to play quite consistently. DeChambeau, his irons completely disappear. Someone may as well have nicked them. Anyway, he's spraying it right. He's spraying it left. He's picking up bogeys here and there. He starts. He's dropping down. He goes 9 under. He goes 8 under. He finishes his round at 6 under. He doesn't have a good day.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So he goes out of it. So you think, fuck, it's all McElroy's there.
McIlroy's going to piss it in.
Yeah, McIlroy's going to take this in. Then we've got Arberg coming up. We've got Justin Rose, who had a fantastic day one, sort of in the mix as well. They're going all right. Justin Rose started the day. He had a
Rose or Rhodes?
Rose.
Rose, like the
Axel
flower.
Rose. Yeah, okay. He had a, he started his day
not
one.
Like the Colossus of.
No, not the Colossus of Rhodes.
Yeah,
I don't know that character.
Yeah, it's one of the wonders of the world.
Oh, is that the?
Yeah.
Oh, that guy. Anyway, am I giving you too much? Am I giving you too much detail?
It's a lot of golf chat.
Okay. Let me get. So anyway, so Axel Rose. Justin Rose starts just playing like a freak show that day. He's birding shit all over. He's stringing birdies.
He's got
together.
No pressure on him.
He's got pressure on him, but he's just playing on the fucking final day of the Masters.
But he's not leading.
And he's in contention. Well, no, he's getting birdie, but he's getting birdie, birdie. Arberg starts playing well.
I'm sure there's more pressure on the leader.
So anyway, he gets to. So what? So our man McIlroy, who we're waiting for, who hasn't won one for 14 years, who has been waiting to win the Grand Slam for all this time,
okay.
is still just waiting there on the precipice, and everyone's going, he can do it. This has got to be
it.
They
call it a Grand Slam.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They call it a Grand Slam once you get all the majors.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's all going to happen. He can do it. Come to the 13th. What does he do?
Bogeys it.
He double bogeys it. He fucking does a terrible shot, chips it into the creek, picks up a double bogey. I think on the same hole, Justin Rose gets a... on the same time, they're not on the same hole, obviously, playing in different groups. Justin Rose...
Birdies it.
Three-shot swing. It's all tied up. They're both sitting there at 11 under.
That's pretty cool. Has Justin ever won the Masters?
He has gone into a playoff once before against Sergio Garcia and lost it. And I think he's won the US Open once before.
Okay. He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty fucking good. Yeah. So anyway, it comes down to Justin Rose is on 10 under. They were both on 10 under at that time. Justin Rose birdies the final one to get it to 11 under. Sets a bit of a target. McIlroy bounces back, keeps his head. I think he gets another bogey after a 13, but then he comes back with an incredible look at eagle, which would put him another 2 under. He misses the eagle putt, gets an easy birdie putt, puts him on 11 under.
So he's tied up.
It all comes down to the 18th hole.
Oh, so it's literally the last hole.
Well, I haven't taken you through it shot by shot.
No,
by
but
shot.
I mean, it comes down to the last hole.
Oh, 100. Oh, yeah, it goes beyond the last hole.
Oh.
So it comes down. So
when he gets to the 18th, is he in front? Is he behind? Is he?
So when he gets to the 18th, he's in front.
Okay.
He's on 12 under.
And the other guy's the
other guy's on the
so
on 11 under.
If he just pars it, he's all good.
If he just pars it, he's all good.
And he fucks it up.
He does a fantastic drive.
Oh, nice.
Beautiful drive. Like A1 position. Then he
is that
gets,
really a term, A1?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, like the best position you can be in. So, but then with his approach shot, I think he's maybe 155. Par four.
Okay.
He instead, like, he, so he's going to approach shot. He sprays it a little bit to the right, goes in a bunker. Bunker's okay. These guys are pros. They in this environment.
They eat bunkers for breakfast.
But yeah, they should go up and down. Okay. Most of the time. They'll pick up the old bogey here and there, but for the most part, in a greenside bunker, they should be able to go up and down. So up and down just means you're able to chip it off the green, onto the green, then putt it into the hole.
Just like an elevator. Up and down.
Up and down. How's your day? Has ups and downs. Anyway, so he chips it out of the bunker. You know, half decent shot. Probably wanted to put a little bit more on it. Then he has a 5-footer.
That's not even as long as I am.
No, it's not. He's a 5-footer to win the major, to win the Grand Slam, to be counted amongst Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus.
So he's got
one of only 5 men to have won a Grand Slam of all of golf.
His destiny is 5 feet away.
5 feet away.
Less than 1 2-cent rugby.
Less than, that's what they were saying on the commentary.
Because I'm 6'4". That's well less than me.
And he... And then Justin Rose is out there in the range.
Distracting him, like,
hey. No, he's on the range doing his things, and he slightly pulls it, misses his putt. After 14 years of waiting, and you think, oh,
what's the look on his face like?
Just like, very serious. You could tell there's a lot going on. There's tension. There's drama.
It looks like a man getting a prostate check. Doesn't know what's going on.
Oh, the crowd, and then there's just gasps from the crowd. It's all too much. It really, really is. So, you know, he taps it in, but it's all tied up. They go to
a bogey.
That's a bogey. And then they go to the playoff hole.
How does the playoff work in golf? You just play shots, just play holes until somebody gets...
Sudden death.
Sudden death.
Sudden death.
Next point wins.
So Justin Rose and... Justin Rose and Axl Rose. Justin Rose and McIlroy go. They're friends. They both play on Team Europe for a Ryder Cup and all that sort of thing.
Oh, where's Justin Rose from?
England.
Oh, okay. So it's England against Northern Ireland.
Yeah. So Justin Rose tees off first, does a lovely drive. Then fucking McIlroy goes, pumps it. Probably even a better drive than his last one. Gets himself back into A1 position. Then Justin puts in a great approach shot, probably, and then he is putting himself at about 13 foot for a look at birdie. Going
That's
slightly.
More than 1 2 cents rugby. It's a couple of 2 cents rugbies.
Yeah. So he puts himself at about 13 foot, which is a gettable putt for these guys. Slippery, tricky, but gettable. Mm-hmm. So all the pressure is on McIlroy to do a fantastic approach shot. So he does his approach shot, 14 years of pressure. You know, after having that 5-footer to win it, you think this would be a moment to get it to him. He fucking sticks it about 3.5 to 4 foot. Oh, just crowd goes absolutely nuts. So that's a hell of a shot. Sticks it right in there. Very, very spicy conditions out there. Very fast greens. It's a hell of a shot. It really, really is.
Okay. So it means more pressure on Justin to get his next one.
So yeah, Justin's like, well, I've got to look at this. He's gone from a position of going, well, if I get that in, I'm going to put all the pressure on him. But it should be a foregone conclusion that
so if Justin doesn't get this, then he's likely fucked.
Likely fucked. So he reads the putt for a good 15 minutes. not 15 minutes, but there's a lot of reading the putt, and then he finally takes it. He just misses it.
By much?
Not by much, but he misses it. You know, it doesn't matter by how much you miss it.
Is it close enough that he then just taps it in, or does...
Yeah, he taps it in afterwards.
Okay.
So he taps it in afterwards. So then it's all on our man.
This time even closer than the last one.
Even closer than the last one. But there's this thing still overhanging him. He lost the US major after getting so many three-footers in a row. He missed 2 3-footers. Crazy close. Like the length of your toe to your bloody just above your knee. Like he missed 2 3-footers in a row to lose the bloody US major last year. Mm. So you're still sitting there going, oh my God. After 14 years, you're still not thinking he's going to get it. And then finally he sacks up, taps it in, and then he just loses his shit completely. And then I showed you the celebration. How would you describe that?
Well, now that I've got the context, that kind of makes more sense. Oh, it just seemed like he hit a really easy putt, and then he was like fucking crying, and I'm like, okay, golf, eh?
Golf, it's a strange game. But no, a sport at its greatest pinnacle. It was quite a thing, and we'll see what he can do from here. But he's maybe the best player of this generation and can now count himself as one of the all-time greats. 35.
Oh, okay. Still pretty young.
Yeah. Been playing 17th attempt at the Masters.
It's not that bad. 1 in 17.
Yeah, but he's the man. He's been playing.
He joins Vijay Singh.
Well, no, not Vijay Singh.
Long list of Masters winners.
Yeah. You don't discount Vijay Singh. I really need to pee, so let's...
Oh, you tell the fucking longest fuck golf story. You could have sped that up. There could have been a few details cut there. You don't get to tell that long story and then be like, oh, now I need a piss.
Do I pee or do I do a pee break?
We can wrap it up.
Okay, fantastic. All right, well, there you go. You got through my massive golf story. How was that?
That was all right.
Yeah, and I apologize for any golf fans out there if I got any details wrong, which I'm pretty sure I would have.
You got the...
The gist of it.
The gist of it, right.
But it was amazing to see. Heck of a thing. All right, Mark.
Well done, Rory McIlroy.
And well done to you for getting through all of that. Really appreciate it.
There will be more rugby again next week. Super Rugby's back on. The URC's back on.
Everything's back on.
If you want to sponsor the podcast, if you want to run a golf shop.
Yeah. We've never had a golf sponsor.
Doesn't have to be golf. It could be a boxing gym.
All right, my eyeballs are floating. Let's move on. All right, good on you, Mark.
Thank you, folks.
Arrivederci. See you later.